Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
Ginsey.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
I want to rock.
You know, we might be down, but we always come back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're back from all week of craziness, but hey, Miss Kat, how are you?
Woo! I'm doing great. What's happening?
Well, you know what? I had to cancel last week. I had about an hour before the show, and we had my dad in for kidney stones, of all things. It was emergency surgery, and he was in twice, and all kinds of stuff was going on, and I didn't even get to look up at show notes, and I finally just realized, man, we're not going to make it. So I felt real bad about that, but family's family, and I dealt with that, but we are back, and things are kicking, and he's doing a little better. We did have a little scare today with him getting a fever, and they put him on that. It was a long week, let me tell you. So, and then you've got some things going on. You've actually got a new show. And let's talk about that. It's called Hey Cat.
It's called Hey Cat. It was on today earlier, and it was on at 3:00 Pacific time here on Blog Talk Radio, and it was fun. I did it for an hour, and I played some music, and I interviewed my friend Andrea from Chalk, and then Tony from South Indy Paranormal called in, and we had us a little hour show. And it was fun.
All right. Well, I'm going to have
to listen to it.
I didn't even get to look up this week and know that you were going to do it. Now I'm going, oh, I got to catch up with her. So we'll definitely look into that. Tonight,
I would have called you, but I know that your father is needing our prayers, so I did not.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask for that from everybody. Just say something for him because the poor guy, he's been through it. And I went in this afternoon. I've been working on my little trailer project, and I just kind of stayed close and found something to do. So I've been working on my GRI trailer, and I was going back and forth in and getting him water, and he was just looked like he didn't feel good at all. But his temperature did come down about a full degree, which is a good sign. So by tomorrow, I think we're going to be, you know, he's going in for the doctor, and we'll see what's going on. So,
okay.
But overall, it's been a long week. I just don't want to do that anymore. Hospitals are interesting places. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a hospital show. Speaking of that, because oddly enough, I was sitting there Saturday before last, with him in there, and he had just come out of his second surgery. and he was bleeding and having some bleeding issues. So they went up and cauterized that and took care of it. And I was sitting there with him sleeping, and I had a book, and I really didn't have much to do, and I felt in my pocket, and I had my recorder. So I kind of looked around and went, I'm going to try an EVP session just right here. So I ended up getting some EVPs in this hospital I could not believe, and started me thinking about a possible show about that. So we've got a show planned later on, and I'm going to try to scare somebody up as a guest to talk about EVPs in and around hospitals and some of the things that go on. As a matter of fact, I've had anecdotal evidence from some of the local hospitals around here, some of the things that happen there, and evidently there's some really amazing phenomena. So if there's anybody out there listening who does know someone or has personal experience about these kind of things, definitely get a hold of us, because we'd like to either have you as a guest or or put us in touch with someone you know, and we'd be very interested in doing that.
I might be able to get into the medical examiner's office here.
Well, if you could, if we could get somebody on and we could talk about it.
Well, I mean, they're all dead. I know HIPAA laws apply to hospitals, but I'm not sure they do to the morgue.
Actually, it's kind of odd. I think that's kind of varies by place, but I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, we're just going to have to find out. I think the best chance a lot of folks in the paranormal business have, though, is of, places that have closed down, and those are far and few between, because it's so hard to get into a lot of the recently closed ones. But, you've got Waverly and different places like that, and we're trying to get actually Waverly to come on and be a guest. I've got a note to call them this month and see if we can get them in the next month or two and to talk with us. So a lot going on our plate. We're definitely got a full month going on. Let's see. Tonight's show, let's talk a little bit about that. Back in March, I did a drive down to the Queen Mary and was supposed to go on a theater hunt, and it evolved because of some miscommunications about where the place was. I ended up in downtown L.A. and found out I was in the wrong place. So my trusty TomTom navigated me back to the Queen Mary, and I lucked out and was one of the last open slots I could get on the midnight tour of the Queen Mary. So I went and did that entire tour for about 4 hours. And went below decks and went down into the depths of that ship. And I ran into a couple interesting ladies down there, Chris Stanley, who's been on here once before, and Christine Kangas, and I hope I'm saying that name, so correct me if I'm wrong later. They're going to be our guests on at about 8:30, and we're going to be taking some of their EVPs and stories and just kind of going back and forth and talking about that. But we're also going to talk a little bit about the Queen Mary itself. And you and I were talking pre-show, and you had can you remind me what we were talking about with regard to your mother in September? I think it was September you were talking about going out there.
September 10th, 11th, and 12th, there is a sci fair, science fair on the Queen Mary, and it's a gadget fest of epic proportions. They have the creator of the Ovilus and other guests that are going to be on the Queen Mary for this thing. And you get to try out these gadgets, and they're actually having an inventor's contest with $3,000 in grants being the top prize for your inventions. And you get to show it to them and see if it works and try it out, try out all the latest gadgets. And it's $199, which is very reasonably priced for this thing. Plus, they have some rooms blocked off that are at a discount. So I'm definitely putting my hat in the ring. I'm going to be at this thing in September. I've always wanted to do the Queen Mary, and my mom thinks that would just be neat for me to do. In fact, she was asking me about the recording that they had played on this one show, where you hear the thumps and bangs, and then you kind of hear water, and you hear guys talking. And she was asking me, now, is that like somebody pounding on the ship? Like, somebody in the background, like trying to play a prank? And I said, no, that's a real, like, recording. And she's like, wow. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's like This is like 3 days of nonstop paranormal action. I'm all over this.
Well, I think I'll go down to that because I'll be.
I cannot resist.
Montana. What's that?
I cannot resist. I am a gadget geek.
Well, same here. I've got a whole bunch of new toys that have been coming in here, and now I'm having to build a trailer to hold it all so I can take it on investigation. So, matter of fact, I spent the day putting together the frame of the GRI paranormal trailer. It's going to be a teardrop trailer for going out and doing some pretty interesting stuff. So I can't even say the word stuff today. So by probably about September, I should have it done. And who knows? I might just pull up in that thing out at the Queen Mary there in September with you there. So be glad to do that with you. And who knows? Maybe do a show from there.
You had a hell of a time doing a show from there the last time. Maybe this time we'd be a little bit more.
That was nuts, man. I mean, I'll tell you
crazy.
What. I love the. Well, I love it, but I was just flying because I mean the internet aboard that ship is so bad. I mean I cannot tell you how bad it was to try to put a show together there. But now I know, and I probably should charge consulting fees to anybody else who tries to do that, because they have the most whacked out onboard internet I've ever seen in my life. And I finally figured it out. No instructions. I just here's a box, figure it out yourself. And I'm going, no instructions. Okay, so I spent a whole bunch of time I would have liked to have been investigating out, trying to figure out how to do the show, but now I'm an expert. That said, let's talk a little bit about Queen Mary. She's a retired ocean liner that sailed the North Atlantic from about 1936 to 1967 for the Cunard Line, which was also, I think, merged with White Star. And she did all sorts of things. I think 1,001 crossings of the Atlantic.
Right.
Was called the Gray Ghost during World War II. Her and her sister ship, the Queen Elizabeth, were the two fastest troop carriers of the day. And at one point, they were carrying 16,000 troops on each ship, going 20-plus knots. And it was very hard for the U-boat captains to try to bring the vehicle, bring the ship down. There was let me look at my notes here. There was the whole accident with the, it was one of the British ships that crossed over, and I've got so much here on my notes, I'm just going to flip right now. There was a particular ship that crossed the wrong way. They got their directions wrong, because what the Queen Mary would do is it would go back and forth in zigzag patterns to try to confuse the enemy, and it was the Curacoa. And the Curacoa got its directions reversed and crossed the in the path of, on October 2nd, 1942, crossed in the path of the Queen Mary, and it literally cut it in two. And there were 331 of 432 crew members lost in that accident. And I guess the ship went down in just record time, so whoever got off and made it, and made it to the surface was who survived for the most part. And the way that the crew said it was aboard the Queen Mary, that all they felt was a little bump. So that gives you an idea of the power of what happened and how efficiently this thing cut through. The Queen Mary's bow was pretty badly bent, and the damage was patched up with cement of all things, and made a lot better in Boston, but not fully repaired until after the war when a new stem was fitted. I'm not sure if that's stern. Oh, it says stern, excuse me. Was fitted. So what a lot of people hear on that bow section, which I never was able to get to during my investigation there, but what's reported is that there's the sounds of men screaming and yelling and all sorts of noises and terrible crashing noises up at the front, which people have repeatedly been able to pick up and record on tape. And it's happening a little less often lately. I don't know. I'll have to find out more about that, what's going on these days with that particular event replaying itself. But this does appear to be a residual haunt, something more tied to the there's our friends in the chat room. But it's more tied to what happened at that time and a lot of emotion. And the really terrifying part of it all was they were under orders not to stop. So when this happened, the Queen Mary just had to continue on with 15 to 16,000 guys aboard, and everybody looking in the water towards the stern and realizing that what had happened here and couldn't stop. They just watched these men all out there fighting for their lives. And eventually they were, you know, the 100 and some odd were picked up. So, but not only that, there were a lot of other deaths. As a matter of fact, when we were aboard, I was able to visit the infirmaries in different places aboard towards the rear of the ship. And a lot of guys, they talked about how a lot of guys got heat exhaustion. And where guys were dying like flies up there, right and left, and I think the Queen Elizabeth had the same problem. They were packing them so tight, these people were just getting sick and dying on them. And so there were a lot of soldiers who passed aboard the ship. And I guess there was really no real reports about ghosts aboard Queen Mary until it became a hotel, until it got, you know, was brought here to the United States and docked in Long Beach. So a lot of these reports now are becoming, you know, last, I guess, what, 30 years it's been here, are all relatively recent reportings. But, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, when I got aboard that ship and took one step in, it was like walking into something that you could feel it all around you. That's the only way I could describe it. Definite presence. I mean, that would be the word. And I think you're going to feel it when you go aboard, Kat. It's just a definite
presence. I can feel
presence.
It from here.
And yeah, it's powerful. And you, when you, especially when I walked down the hallway to my room, I was actually not very far. I took a stateroom when I reserved my room there. So I was just around the corner from the main check-in desk and maybe about 200 feet down. And you walk through that hallway, and it was just very powerful. It got worse as you walked in. My room was actually pretty friendly feeling, but when you go out in the hall, it's a different thing. You just feel these energies. And the weird part was I'm walking in there, and there's this man standing there who's dressed in a crew member's uniform, and he starts telling me about the history of things just out of the blue. So I listen to him. I talk with him a while, and I finally excused myself and said, well, I got to get checked in. And it was just as I walked up to unlock my door, got in and came back around and he's gone. You know, it wasn't even like 10 seconds. I mean, I just put my stuff down, turned around and I thought, well, I'll go say thank you. And he was gone. I mean, I don't know how fast he could have moved that far to get to the other end of the, under the other end, ship where he could have ducked out, but it was just strange. And I thought about going to the front desk and saying, do you have a guy walking around telling people about the history of the ship with all these stories? And it was just strange. So I don't know. I'm hoping he was a living person and I didn't just run into a real live ghost telling me historical details of the ship.
It's possible.
It was a lot happened that night, and we, you know, I didn't have any sightings per se, but a lot of the EVPs we got, which we're going to play later on, you know, some of what the two, I'm going to call them the two Chris's, got and what we were able to pick up on our recorders. There was just an amazing
amount of
evidence.
We have something like that here in Washington, but it's at a hotel, and it's an old bellhop, and his name is George. We have something like that here of an individual.
That?
It's not a ship, it's a hotel.
Oh, hotel.
And, yeah, and there was a woman that checked into the hotel, and a bellhop dressed in, he was dressed in a uniform with a little pillbox hat tipped to the side, which is what they wore back in the 40s, appeared and actually walked her bags upstairs for her, up to her door. She got in the door, she turned around to hand him a tip, and he was gone. And she went back down to the lobby, to the front desk, and asked them who this man was because she wanted to give him a tip, and they told him that that is George. He hung himself in the hotel back in about 1945, and she freaked out, went upstairs, grabbed her bags, and left the hotel.
I don't know. I didn't feel threatened by it. I just looked and went, well, that's awfully strange, and
right.
I just made a mental note of it. Yeah, but
she literally walked
into
her room, turned around, and he was gone.
That's wicked.
So, yeah, a lot of people have seen him. So, yep.
Well,
I've heard that story before.
Well, aboard Queen Mary, it says here, the ships had at least 49 reported deaths on board. The official statistics vary, but Queen Mary is said to be haunted by at least 130 known spirits, including the ghosts of passengers, crew, and soldiers. We all know about the swimming pool where sightings of ghostly women in the 1930s era bathing costumes are heard and seen, and wet footprints have been reported. In the second-class pool room in particular, the ghost of a child named Jackie is seen, who is said to have drowned during a transatlantic crossing, having been spotted. Now, that is weird, to drown aboard a ship. Go figure. Changing rooms off the first-class swimming room are another haunted area, and I had an odd experience there and actually got an EVP there myself, where I was surprised by a mannequin that they had there. I thought it was somebody, and then I realized I jumped back when I exclaimed about it to some people there. The next thing I know, when I played the EVP back, I had a pretty good response. That was none of the people around me said anything, so it was unusual. Other children have been spotted in the third class playroom, where it's said that if you listen closely, you can hear the sounds of disembodied crying, and the engine room. The famous door 13 cited the unlucky accident where a crewman was crushed to death during a routine drill. And many people have reported seeing the ghost of a workman in coveralls walk to door 13 and then vanish. And the cargo hold is said to be haunted in the vicinity of the area where the ship was damaged and struck the Curacoa. And that's actually not far from where we were when we went down to the forward cargo hold. And, went down 60 feet. We actually had climbed down a small ladder, which was a lot of people were a little bit iffy about doing it, but we all got down fine, and it was just an amazing, amazing thing. And we got some pretty good EVPs there. And so we were down there about an hour, and I was actually the first person out. Everybody else was looking around going, who's going to be gutsy enough to climb up? And I finally went, oh, I'll do it. So I went up and got right out of there, and we moved on, and it was just a great, great experience, and it's something I would recommend to anybody. And in September, when we go back, I'm going to do it again. So very, very neat, and the amount of equipment and the engine rooms and the different places where people normally don't go, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so I highly recommend it. Oh.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go on board the Queen Mary just because of what I can do. I would be curious to see if I get a different spin on things than some people do. I don't know. I feel it from here. I know there's something going on with that ship. I tend to believe a lot of it is hype. But not all of it is. So I'm going to go there with an open mind and see what I see and get what I get. And that'll be that. So.
Yeah, it was odd because I tried to walk in places when I did the EVP work to see if there was any chance that maybe somebody was trying to kind of fake us out. And that's why I'm going to go back and do another hit on it and see, compare the EVPs we got this time with what we get the next time, and probably even a third one visit would be in order. That's just good process when you're doing EVP work. You're looking to see is there any chance that some of this could be being faked. And it was funny, the gentleman who did the tour, really nice, interesting guy, and I don't have his name in front of me right now, but he runs their tour there, and he's a real hardcore skeptic type. And he showed us in no uncertain terms how easy it was to use some of the newer technologies to literally control recorders from over 200 feet away and actually put EVPs on people's recorders and then make people think they caught something. So, I knew that could be done, but I actually got firsthand experience at seeing you know, the effects of it and listening to some of the actual recordings. It would be neat to actually compare some of those with genuine, you know, EVPs that we've gotten in the field and then see what the differences are. So still, I do think that haunted places like this, you're right, they do tend to get a kind of a bit of hype going. At the same time, it's real hard to fake that energy, I'll tell you. I really am amazed by it. And what's funny is if you ever get the chance to, there's a Soviet submarine next door, you know, right to the immediate left of the ship when you pull into the parking lot. There's a 1970s era diesel Soviet submarine out there. And it's, I believe it's called the Scorpion. And a tour aboard that ship, it's pretty interesting. Didn't really get much there, and I tried to do some EVP work, but they had some crazy guy talking in Russian, telling you how, you know, all these things. And, you know, talking about how it was good that we didn't get in the war because they would have beat us and all that. So, but there was just, it was impossible to do any EVP work aboard that ship. But still, an amazing experience. And there were some U.S. Navy personnel who worked there, ex-U.S. Navy submariners, who were real, real talkative and informative about things aboard that submarine. So, hey, I can see we're coming up on the half-hour break, and we're going to have our guests on here in about 5 minutes. And so I think it's time to take a little break. And, Kat, I always ask you, what does that mean?
It means go pee.
Okay, so we're going to do that. So I'm going to run and grab a quick refill on my coffee and be right back, and then we'll continue on with Chris and Chris, and I'll answer the line when they dial in, which it looks like they are. So give me a few minutes, guys. I'll answer the call phone when I get my coffee. So see you guys in just a few minutes.
Okay.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Cat, would you ghost hunt for a Scooby snack?
You damn Skippy, I would.
Pesky ghost hunters. If it weren't for them, we could have gotten away with it.
Yum, yum, yum. Hey, Don, will you do an investigation for a Scooby snack?
Hey, did you know there's actually Scooby snacks you can get at
yes,
the store?
Yes, and I saw them at Safeway, and it cracked me up. They're down there by the Cheez-Its and the Triscuits.
I know. I'm getting some for my next team meeting. I'm going to hand them out to everybody. I just decided, you know, I'm going to start handing out some different things for the team to do, and I'm going to go, would you do it for a Scooby snack, and then actually pull one out. So that's going to be great. Well, hey, we've got our we've got the Chris and Chris show coming up here. There are two ladies I ran into when we were out ghost hunting here last March aboard the Queen Mary. And we've got Chris Stanley. She's from San Diego, actually Ramona, and raised in upstate New York. And so she was on our she was a guest on our Shanley show that we did with good old Sal, because he's a great guy. And so they were kind of talking back and forth, talking about some of the things they've experienced. She's worked as a veterinary technician, married for 24 whole years, and has a 9-year-old son. Intrigued by the afterlife and became more in tune to it after her father's death a few years ago. Interest became a fascination, and then she learned her friend Chris, the other Chris, is also interested in this, and they just started going hunting together. And so they were, I think, on their pretty much their first time out when we ran into each other and got talking down at the breakfast the next morning after the big hunt we'd been on the night before. So we were all pretty still, you know, rubbing the sand out of our eyes. She's also visited the Whaley House, and I think probably it says I visited the Whaley House, so I'm not sure if she went with Chris Kangas, but they have evening ghost hunts that they're going to go back, because she says it was real crowded on that particular haunt. So we'll probably learn a little bit about the Whaley House, and not only that, but they actually work together, so we've got a team that's kind of joined at the hip there. And our bio for Chris Kangas. She's had a lot of different experiences her whole life, not sure of what they really were, but became interested in the paranormal after watching TV and TV shows and documentaries and realizing that she's seen a lot of the same things. So she was a closet paranormal believer, and now she's out. So, you know, join the crowd. We've all been there. And
not me.
You've had the whole lifetime of it. And she was afraid of being judged until she met her good friend Chris Stanley, and she's now had a very strong connection with her from the day she met her. And
cool.
When I said ghost, her ears pricked up, and she said, where? So it goes on here. Let's see. Oh, she did go to the Whaley House, it says here, over the spring break, and they hope to return for an evening ghost hunt, as it was very noisy and full of people during the day. So I'm going to say just in between there. A lot of these places, when you do EVP work and you do have a lot of noise, you can still get good EVPs doing that. You just kind of choose where, you know, the quieter areas to go. And even though there's noise going on, you might be surprised at what you pick up. I've done it. And, you know, sometimes you just have to make the best of a bad situation, and you can still get good evidence out of it. So don't just shut off when a lot of people are around. You might get something. So with that said, I'm going to...
Well, me and you were walking around when we were walking around downtown Placerville, we were having a good conversation. We got all those really good EVPs. They just kind of joined in with us. Yeah.
Yep, and those have opened up a lot of doors. So, as a matter of fact, I did a return visit, and that's the reason I'm saying this about noisy environments, is that you can be really surprised. I went back about 6 weeks ago, and did a test. Actually, no, it was about 4 weeks ago. Did a test run up and down the street during the day just to see what would happen. And sure enough, there was a spirit's voice came in saying, "I hated it, so noisy," and you could tell it was EVP. And I was there. I walked it, so I know it wasn't anybody around me.
Right.
So these things happen, and you know, be willing to play with EVPs. Don't just go out there and expect to get have a studio kind of quiet and some and then you're going to get something. It's really messy and dirty and ugly out there when you're trying to get evidence. So, be willing to play with it. And, sometimes you're not going to catch anything. Other times, you're going to be in a real spot where you just think you're going to get nothing, and you come back and you just caught a boatload of them. So it's, just keep the fun angle with it. And I think that's the important thing. So with that said, let's bring our guests aboard here. And if I can hit the right mouse, we're going to do that. And, of course, they're using Skype like I do. Thank God for Skype. So... are you guys here?
I'm here.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Which one of
right.
you have we got?
This is Chris Stanley.
Hello, Chris Stanley.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Welcome.
Hey. Is Boo
Let's
there?
See, I don't know. I see only it's just all of us, but nobody else. There's you, Kat. And I've got the two phone lines because I have the other dial-in, so we're missing one of you.
Maybe she. I
anyway.
Can't remember.
Well, let's. If she's not on, let's go ahead and play that back to her so she knows the number. Our call-in number is 646-478-0377. And I sent you guys all the show notes, so you got everything you need there. So she's having a little challenge getting in. Just let's just have her call in, and I'll watch the board, make sure she gets in. So, Chris, you're here. We got one of the two. So we got to count ourselves lucky. So, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I want to go in September again if you guys are going. That sounds awesome.
Well, and you're real close. You don't have an 8-hour drive like I do. But, and Kat's got a real long way. I guess you're going to fly out and just – or are you going to drive, Kat? You going to take the Mighty Mustang out?
It's a 2.5-hour flight to Los Angeles. I think I'm going to fly. It's only airfares to Los Angeles right now. I can get a ticket for $49.
Oh, that's cheap.
Well,
I think I'm going to fly.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing to do. I'll drive the Mustang, though. It's a good excuse to put the pony out for a good long run and enjoy myself. So anyway, you've been busy since we last talked. You've been out doing things. So, give us a little synopsis of what's going on.
Well, we have, and we went to the Whaley House, and that's in Old Town down here in San Diego. That was a great time. That was a lot of fun. And we can't wait to go back to the Queen Mary again, of course. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That was a great first experience for the both of us. It was incredible. And, we hope to visit a few really old cemeteries that we found in the area as well. So we're kind of putting some to-dos on our list, And Chris's husband, she got some ghost hunting tools for Mother's Day.
Yeah, I saw that in the emails, and I was going, "Whoa, lucky bugger! Way to go!"
Yeah, she got some stuff. She made her little list for her husband, and he said, "I'm not getting you that stuff for Mother's Day," and he got it for her anyway. So she's all excited. So
she's lucky, the sneaky devil. He knew exactly what he was going to do.
I know.
Well, so you guys are almost like a brand new group then, a group of two. Going off and just exploring.
And we are going to keep exploring. And we really, if you guys are going to be on the Queen Mary in September, I should I should look into that. We should look into that and meet up with you again.
Well,
God,
I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and find out more about, because Kat did send me that link to that particular item. As a matter of fact, we should post that in the show notes afterwards so that other folks can take a look at that, because it's just a ship that, you know, you really have to see to believe. Even if it was not haunted, it's just still an amazing place to visit, and I totally enjoyed myself.
Oh, as soon as you walk on that ship, it's just the architecture alone and the wood and the art and the beauty of it just takes your breath away, and that alone is just amazing. But then you do have this deep guttural feeling. I mean, there's just something there when you walk on that ship, you'd step back in time, and it's very, very powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was for me. I mean, I mentioned that earlier. It was just from the moment you got the gang, you know, when you stepped from the gangplank right across and actually got inside, it was within 5 feet you felt something going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it just got progressively.
We slowed down before we stepped over that threshold. It was this feeling that we had that we took a deep breath and we looked at each other and we were like, okay, here we go. I mean, I was nervous and I just had this not uneasy feeling. It wasn't uneasiness at all, and it wasn't fear. It was just this really powerful emotion that you feel. You know, there's definitely some stuff going on that boat.
Yeah, when, you know, and meeting you guys at midnight, you know, because I mean, I was originally not going to even be there that night, just going to go off and do a theater thing with Journey Paranormal, and it got all turned around, so got lucky and got the ticket, and then ran into both of you at the bar there, you know, as we were waiting for everybody to get together, and so it was really good, and then to go through that whole presentation there. He took quite a while. I guess it was 30 to 45 minutes to go through all the tools and techniques, and then to really kind of lower our expectations.
Oh, and
you
that
know,
was,
and I thought
you had definitely hit the nail on the head when you said he is a hardcore skeptic. He was so trying to disprove everything. So I felt comfort in that, knowing, well, we're not going to go on this ghost hunt and have these EVPs that are pre-recorded in the rafters that we're going to pick up, and we're going to see things that have been planted. I mean, he was actually trying to tell us that there's a lot of bunk out there and don't believe it. And, you know, it's almost like he is a non-believer that's trying to prove that there is something there, but
well,
you know,
I was yeah, I was just surprised at how he said you would get hardly anything, and I'm going, I don't even have to try in the field to get EVPs. They just happen. So I was kind of looking at him thinking, are you just trying to tell people who are brand new to this, who really won't know how to analyze their evidence, or, you know, I kind of looked at him funny, but I could understand where he was coming from. But he also had some good things to say that were kind of unique, like the whole bit with the K2 meters. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where he showed
the,
us.
Yes. How on the show,
yeah, 'cause I would
move them and everything, and yeah.
Yeah, it turned out, and for those of you who are looking to save a couple of bucks here and there in this crazy economy, he was saying that you could go out to Home Depot and different places like that and pick up functionally the equivalent of the K2 with some of these stud finder type devices that are out there. And so I actually, last week I stopped over at Home Depot. Finally got around to, you know, time to do it, and on the way home from work, and didn't quite get what he was talking about, but I did pick one up that had the AC detection modules and stuff on it, and had this a metal detector too, and a whole bunch of other features on it that were really neat. So I just want to throw that in the kit, and not only that, I can use it for projects around the house. So, but the bottom line is there's dual use stuff out there that is a lot less expensive. I got it for $29. You know, whereas a what's a K2 run these days? $70, $80, $90, you know, depending on where you buy. So it's really interesting to hear somebody like that with that kind of experience kind of tell you, hey, you know, stop
don't
and look at what these things actually, look at what these things actually are. So he was really good. I got to find his card because I have that, you know, dug away someplace, and definitely want to get him on the show to talk some more because I think he was trying to educate folks just to be, you know, downplay it. But I really think he's a closet believer, and he knew we'd get a lot more than
he's got to do what he's doing.
Yeah. So, but it was really neat going down. I mean, you guys got some, you know, you sent me four EVPs that we're going to play, you know, throughout the show here. And I got a boatload of different things that I picked up walking around because I hit all the decks and different things. I just kept the recorder running the whole time. So between the two of us, especially over at the pool, I think you guys caught something at the pool here, right? Let me look here at the notes.
Got something in the pool. Yeah, somebody saying hello.
Yeah, I might
pick that up. There's some singing that she picked up that's really good. A male's voice. There's some. I can't remember everything that she had sent you. I think when I hear them, I'll be able to recognize them and know where we were. You know, something else that I found pretty intriguing was that my camera decided to stop working as we were walking down into the belly, the prisoner hold area.
I had the same thing. I had my camera batteries all died on me as I got into the pool area, and they were fully charged. you know, so I was sitting there digging up extra batteries going, what in the heck?
Yeah,
so yours happened down in the cargo hold?
It was when we were walking down to the cargo hold, and I was taking pictures, and I was just then getting error messages that my data card was full, which it was not, because I only had like 20 pictures on there.
I remember that.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember you guys. It was because we were just in that little. In that little room just above. Yeah.
And I could not get it to work. I got home. I took the I took the battery out. I did everything. I tried to reset it, and it would not work. I got home, I did the same thing that I did on the ship, and it reloaded, and it was perfectly fine. So for whatever reason, they didn't want me to be using my camera that night.
Yeah, that was a interesting room, because there was like this whole, they had some chairs, I think it was, set up in a circular area. It was like a flat, strange kind of room. I'm not even sure what they used it for. And then there was a little door that you took out, and if you stepped straight forward, you would go down 60 feet into your early death. And then you had to walk along this little kind of like gangplank thing, and you then turn left, and you ended up at a really tiny ladder. And that was a leap of faith to go down that thing. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I was looking at it going, you want me to go down that?
Yeah, that was a little scary, a little spooky. Holding a flashlight and equipment.
Yeah, I was, it was nice that they were so concerned about us, but I was sitting there thinking, you know, I think a harness would be good with a clip on us. Eventually somebody's going to fall on one of these, and there's going to be a lawsuit from hell. So
we could actually, rappel down the area. It was so deep.
I know, and this is what we're talking about is this cargo hold was where they, you know, not only cargo, but they took some of the Nazi prisoners that they brought back to come to prison camps in the United States. Were kept down there, and there was no way these guys could get out. So they would lower food in, and they would also bring things back out. That obviously there was no bathrooms down there, so it was a really dark, dank, musty place, and just a horrid, horrid place. I don't know about. Yeah, I've been on in other prison sections of ships, especially aboard USS Hornet, where it was a little more humane, I thought, than what you saw down there. just
well, and
really...
it was literally the skeleton of the ship. I mean, it was hard metal. It was the skeleton of the ship with little planks of wood and metal that we had to walk on. And then there were holes all over the place. It was dreary, and it was nasty, dirty. And how many feet even below water level were we down there?
I think it answered that question, it was, I think, 40 to 50 feet.
That's, I thought,
and,
that was, about 40 feet.
Yeah, and we were actually hearing the sounds of creatures hitting the side of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing things, and I heard whispers going on behind me. You remember I took off to the left, and then everybody went around the corner.
I was on the other side from you.
Yeah, and I was hearing whispers now and then, and I thought, you know, am I just getting echoes? I wasn't sure, so I just kind of stayed right there, and it was really cold down there, too. I mean, it's not a great place, but every so often, though, you'd hear something sliding along the hull, and then you realize we're below water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, But we got EVPs down there, and it was some really neat stuff.
Not long before we headed back up, we were all sitting there, and we were talking, and we were trying to make contact, and it was very, very quiet. And there were a couple of people that had temperature gauges. And wouldn't you say that within a 10-minute, 15-minute span, I could be off, so correct me if I'm wrong because I don't want to exaggerate, but I can't really remember, may have been between 10 and 15-minute span that we had a temperature drop, a significant drop. And we were all sitting there, standing there, and all of a sudden I was just feeling really, really cold. And I didn't say anything. I just thought, it's just because we're down here and it's very still and, you know, it's my mind playing tricks on me. And it just so happened that the lady next to me, she looked over at me and I said, boy, it's getting really cold in here. And she said, yeah, me too. I'm freezing. My teeth are chattering. And it was either her husband or boyfriend that it had the temperature gauge. So I said, check the temperature. What's the temperature? And it had dropped significantly. So we kept watching that temperature, and it just kept continuing to drop. And this was just over that short, short time frame that did it drop like 10 or 15 degrees or something like that. It was a significant difference. Maybe it was about 10 degrees. I can't remember. Do you remember how much that dropped?
Yeah, I do. I was off to over on the left side, and it actually came my direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same thing.
And then it worked its way around.
Yep.
And you guys felt it. And we felt almost like a breeze. And there was no way for a breeze to come in. And we felt a cool breeze. I felt it on my cheek, on my face. And the guy sitting next to us had shorts on, and he felt it across his legs. And it was just the oddest thing.
Yeah, it dropped in a matter of 10 minutes. We had an 8-degree temperature drop.
Okay.
And
I
was wearing a light jacket, and I can tell you, for anybody who does go on that tour, or on any tour aboard ships, wear a little more substantial jacket than that, because that's the kind of stuff that happens, and those places already are cold enough. You know, it was nice to keep moving to stay warm, but I'm going to tell you, people were not really dressed. And I'm not sure if you agree, but I just don't think people were dressed right for that. But at the same time, it was pretty amazing. I was reasonably okay, and the next thing I knew, I was suddenly freezing cold.
Yeah.
And I commented about it too. I was going, yeah, it's getting really cold over here, and you could actually see your breath a little bit now and then, and you're going, yeah, this is not quite right.
And it wasn't cold enough to see your breath, but we did, for whatever reason, almost see our breath. And that was another thing that kind of shocked me.
Yeah, I held my flashlight up and pointed to the left, and I could see it briefly once. I saw my breath once, and then it just, after that, I didn't see it again. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm just off the mark here. Maybe we're just...
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I think you would think being in the belly of a ship like that, parked out off Long Beach, that perhaps some of the cold is due to the temperature of the water, but it wouldn't fluctuate the way it did, and you would not see your breath just once.
That's
there's got to be something else going down, going on down there, you know?
Yep, there's
that's
no
exactly
way.
Right.
It's controlled. It's kind of, the ship is built in for those, it is truly floating in water, but there's no
right.
caves or anything, because there's a big kind of dike or dam built up around the ship, so there's...
That's exactly right.
Controlled temperature. It's not even like a big underground current current or something would come by the ship. You know, I mean, it's completely sealed into this area.
It's got a wave break built around it. I've seen pictures of it. So if you were saying, okay, so we walked into this down. We went down. We walked into this prison where they kept people. And it was constantly cold. I would say, well, maybe that's because you are actually underwater. But if the temperature is fluctuating like that, then I think that's significant. I would think so.
It is, because for that kind of an energy fluctuation in water would have taken, it's a massive, massive thing to have happen. And there's just no logical explanation for it. That said, we're coming up on our second break, and after that, we're going to get back and talk with one half of the Chris and Chris team. You still don't have the other half.
I'm
going to
try calling her on the break on my cell phone and see if she has the right number or what's happening, because I just talked to her a little bit ago, and she was all excited, so something must be going on. So I'm going to try to call her on break.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do that, and if you just need a little more time, we'll just kind of talk through it. And we'll start playing some of the EVPs and play yours first and go through all that. So we'll have that ready. So that said, let me do a little magic scrolling here. And we've got the tint. There it is. Okay, and I'm going to drop this down. That last song, I think, was a little bit too loud, so we're going to take it to 70%. So with that said, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we'll be back in about 2, 3, 4 minutes or so. And the controls just recycled on me just as I was doing that. Kat, it's time to do your sing thing. Here we go.
Do you?
We got it.
Do you? Here, I'm done.
Play that funky music, Kat girl.
At least it's not Alien Woman from Mars or whatever it is. Not going to make me snort tonight, John. I'm telling you right now.
Just wait for the commercial we're going to play.
Oh, hell.
It's Starsky and Hutch. Ghost time.
Dude. My Mustang will kick that thing's ass.
I work in the rocket business. I'm going to put some stuff on that'll take your Mustang and waste you, girl.
I'm just going to go buy me a Cobra.
Two Maverick motors strapped to the side of mine. You won't have a chance.
I've always got a chance. I've got 5 years. What do you got?
Filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
That's right.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com. I love that.
I'd rather play Brokeback Star Trek, but that's okay.
Not even.
Listen.
Fighting the alien menace can be tough work, and so is keeping your hair clean, shiny, and dandruff-free. So it's a good thing that we always keep a healthy supply of
head and shoulders around the house.
Right.
I'm done.
Dang, yo, are you done?
You know how hard it is to do all the audio spots for this show?
No, tell me.
I have to hunt some of this stuff down. I do this for you guys because, man, it's a labor of love doing GRI show, man. Come on. So, hey, how did we do on getting our other guests there, Ms. Chris? Is she still there? She's on the phone, isn't she?
Okay.
So, yeah, I was pulling everything out by the stops there to try to buy time.
I'm back.
Well, hey, anyway, you know, are you back?
I'm back. I can't get in touch with Chris, so I hope everything's okay.
Well, you know what? We're just going to adapt, overcome, and improvise. I mean,
okay.
It's Heartbreak Ridge here, so we're just going to keep the show must go on. So here we go.
Okay.
So what we've got is we've got some of your EVPs, and let me go back here to the prior page because we're just going to we've got the hello in the pool area, and what it says here is at 15 minutes, 38 seconds into your recording, you have, I hear a hello in the pool area, corner downstairs, just as Chris and I enter that area. So let me go find that, and I'm going to play it at the 100% because I did not even have time to listen to this because we got those EVPs. We were flying and getting the show together
a little late.
Hey, it trust me, it's normal with all this. You're trying to put it all together. It takes a little work to put a show together. So here we go. And I just kicked it. So.
Peek it. Try not to get the sharper, the brightest light in the history of flashlights.
Hello.
No, I
can hear that.
Yeah.
It was right. It was a little hello.
That's a Class A EVP. You got a good catch there.
That's wild.
That's Chris talking. We were just walking around with our flashlights, and she borrowed one of my flashlights, and she was laughing at how bright it was. She was shining it up onto, like, the ceiling of the pool area. We were in the pool area, and she was shining it over into the corner, and she was just making comments and laughing about, I have the brightest flashlight in the history of blah, 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 and then that hello came on her EVP. I mean, I almost peed my pants when I heard that.
Well, we don't want that to happen, so no. Chris. But that's a great catch. I mean, for a first time out like that, and what you were, you know, and you guys went and did your analysis and all that, you picked that up. That's really easy to miss a thing like that. So, great catch. That's a woman's voice.
I wonder if it's a girl, because in the pool area, don't they always see a little girl standing in that corner over where that little scale was?
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to roll back the notes here, hauntings. In the second class pool room in particular, the ghost of a child named Jackie, who is said to have drowned during a transatlantic crossing has been spotted. So was that the second class pool room that we were in?
Yeah, that was. I believe that was, or was it the first class pool room? I don't know if there was a first class pool room. I think it was just there was only. Wasn't there just one pool room?
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out more about that because I'm not even sure which of the two we were in. But I think it's the one that is that you always see on all the paranormal shows and things like that. So we're going to have to find out about that. I'm going to make a note on that.
If you go to the Queen Mary website itself, on the left-hand side, there's a whole bunch of topics, and there's one that says sightings, another one I think says hauntings, and it might be there.
Okay, that'll be good. And we have that actual link for that on the GRA website for those of you in the chat room listening.
I'm going to put it up in the chat room.
As a matter of fact, to all the folks in the chat room, if you've got any questions, feel free to definitely pop in and if you use uppercase and put question prefix that, and that can be brought to us by Ms. Kat, and then we can have our guests talk about some of the, whatever that is, or we can talk to it.
Well, Doc says that first class is the only pool now, so it would have been the first class pool.
Okay, so that wouldn't have been that little girl, but I have heard of another child in and around that pool. So obviously we've got some more. I did my best to get these notes together with everything I could, but that sounded like a younger woman to me. It could have been a young woman to a little girl. Do you want to replay it and let's just see?
Yeah, let's listen to it again.
Yeah, let's do that again. So let me go back. Here we go. I'm going to, I'll leave it at the same level. Okay, here we go.
Take it. Try not to be the sharpest, the brightest light in the history of flashlights. No. Let's
That's amazing. That sounds like a young teenager to maybe an older little girl. I would tend to agree. So we're going to have to definitely file that one to be looked into some more and see what we find in the research.
I think she sounds like she's about four and a half.
It sounded like a little kid to me.
Okay, well, I'll trust that. So why don't we'll make a note of it and go back, and then we should have you guys back on when we get both of you together, and then we'll do that. So I think we'll plan a show for July or something to have you guys back on, and then not only that, you'll have some cases that you've been on, and we can talk some more about
stuff. Well,
and
we'll have some more EVPs. She's got about five more that she didn't send you, so.
All right. Let's see. We've also got man's voice in the forward cargo hold. And what it says here, at 42 minutes, 19 seconds, we're sitting in a circle in the forward cargo hold, and I hear a man in the background say something. And we were all being really quiet. And can you talk to about maybe what was happening at that point?
I have to hear the conversation surrounding it because I will be able to place myself back to that. I don't remember which one she's referring to. Can I hear it first?
Yeah, let's do that. So I'm all set to go. So here we go.
So and according to now some of the
It was right there in the background. It sounded almost like a wolf growling or something. It was like, whoa, whoa. Did you hear that in the background?
Yeah, I heard that, and we were getting similar type things.
We were,
in some of
that
our
was reviews. Before we went down into the hole, as I call it, when we were in that strange little room sitting on the chairs.
Yeah, just before we went down, and that's that same place that your batteries and everything went kind of crazy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You hear quite a bit of that.
Yeah, let's replay it again.
I
got to scroll here.
I didn't hear it when we were there. I didn't personally hear it.
Okay, here we go again.
Okay.
So, and according to now, some of the...
Yeah, you can definitely kind of make that out. I think I'd like to pull that into some of my software and see if I could bring that out a little more.
Mm-hmm. I heard I am here again.
You heard I am here?
That's what I heard. I am here again.
Okay, I'm going to write that down on the show notes.
You know, I've run into things like that. And it's entirely possible that some of those ghosts or spirits, entities, whatever you want to call them, on board the Queen Mary are stuck in a vortex, and it slows down the speech. So that's what I've come to the conclusion in doing a little bit. I've heard a lot of EVPs, and I've heard a couple like that. And so that's not based on anything other than my own theory, that they're stuck. They're stuck in the rift. They're stuck between the veil, and it slows their speech down. Just like if you were to breathe nitrous, it slows it down.
Slows it down.
You know, we got a caller on the line here from area code 760, and so I'm just going to take this briefly. Okay, let's go ahead and hit it.
Here
we go. Click.
Oh, that's our
EVP. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Stanley. Hey, John. How are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. We were winging it, girl. We were just wondering what the heck happened to you.
Oh, Lord. I know. Too much drama. But here I am. And, yes, that was when we were sitting in that circle, you know, before we went into the cargo hold, or you went into the cargo hold. And he was talking to us, and it was very quiet. It was just Pat. And he was talking, and that voice, I don't know what it says, but it's very raw. I don't know. It just stuck out to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's classic EVP. They like to, it's funny because when you're analyzing EVPs, you'll look at a known voice, and then you'll look right between that known voice, and you'll see these clips of that come in, and you'll see what you can kind of spot them just by looking at them. I don't know how else to say it, but you'll actually walk through the waveforms and you'll look and you'll go, oh, that's interesting. And you'll zoom in on that mm-hmm. and start to play it. And that's when you'll start to see. And what's weird is their sense of time on the other side is so strange, because it's like the second the person stops talking, they interject something and then they stop right at, or sometimes they run right into where the person, known person talking, living person, they'll just stop or just slightly run into that, and then they quit. And it's the darndest thing. I've never understood that. I think that they're really confused about the cadence at which we speak, and they do the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, but very classic. I think that's a great EVP you guys got. I mean, you did great there.
Well, and John, I'm just joining, so I don't know what you've shown to the viewers or the audience, but those other ones where we have a voice coming through saying, you guys something, or the singing voice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, we played the hello.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got the hello.
Oh, the hello.
The hello.
Oh, the hello. I don't know what to say about
that. That was amazing, and as far as I'm concerned, that's just an awesome piece of evidence you guys got.
But
you
ought
to put that on a website you guys set up.
We were in the corner of that pool, and it was just Chris and I. And I said, "I'm coming to you," because she was in the corner, and we were trying to get behind the curtain, and we couldn't get back there, and I was trying to see back there, and then I heard there was that first EVP, that one, oh, my Lord, that one, wow, threw me. And I got so excited I cried. That was the first EVP I ever heard. And I cried, and I came running out into the living room, and the girls were like, what? My girls are like, why are you so excited? That was crazy.
Yeah, and imagine how close she was standing to you when she did that. That's the part that always freaks me out when I get a Class A and something that's really loud. You just go, how freaking close was that thing to me? And did it, you know, and
yeah,
try to remember.
Yeah, like that sounded like it was
then.
Standing right next to me.
Yeah, and I
well,
think they pretty much
totally
are. And
it's on a different level, too. I mean, I was listening to that over and over and over again with, like, really high-quality, expensive Bose headphones. And
mm-hmm.
you can hear Chris talking, and you can hear us whispering, but that hello is on just a completely different plane. I mean, it's a different recording. It's just different. It's just there, you know? It's hard to explain.
EVPs, as a rule, they have a musical cadence to them. It's very rare you'll get, and this is my experience. I could be way off, but my own recordings, I tend to get these musical, either they're real scratchy, but you can tell they're slightly off frequency or whatever the problem is. You'll get this scratchy voice, or you'll get these musical sing-songy ones, and sometimes
oh,
they'll fade in and out.
Here's that one, Chris.
Oh, the
yeah,
same song.
And so,
John.
And then you get
have
the
you ever heard
occasionally
anything
one
like that.
He didn't play that.
Well, actually, you
oh,
know what?
You have to
I
play
have...
that for your viewers because that was something I have never thought in a million years that I would ever hear.
Well, I'll tell
like
you what.
That.
I'll go ahead and play that because I was just playing them in the order you gave them to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was at 159 minutes 37 seconds. And I'll read off what you had to me in the email there. It says, walking out of the area where they had all the deck chairs and old books and rugs and et cetera.
Oh, this is a different one. This is the guy.
Oh.
This is the guy that yells something.
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
know what it says. But
you guys?
It was Chris and I and that other guy that had all the paranormal investigator with Patrick or Pat that had
right.
all the stuff around his belt. And he was very serious. And we were talking about how he doesn't like the TV investigators and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
You don't like my sweatshirt. And he was trying to say, oh, yeah, something about the New Jersey, you know, I don't know where they're from or however. But he was telling us, yes, it's, you know, all about the, he didn't like that point of view. And then you hear this voice that's so distinctive and out of the, I don't even know where it was out of, but very distinctive.
Well, here, let's go ahead and play it. I'm going to play it at 100%, and this will be the first time I heard it, too. I just had to explain, I just had only enough time to throw it all together when I got everything in, because putting one of these shows together, it's a half-day work of art, you know. So here
mm-hmm.
we go. I'm going to go ahead and play, and let's see what you caught.
New Jersey, somewhere around there. You got just.
This is an internet?
This yeah. Here's an internet radio show. But you're actually here on some radio station back east. But
such an open?
It sounds almost like he's saying, you guys suck.
Yeah, I know. Or you guys judge, or you guys something.
Did you hear
Yeah,
that?
I heard that. I heard that. It was sort of midway through, and it just,
yeah.
It was slightly a lower kind of nasally voice.
Mm-hmm.
If, and I generally play these twice, so we, you know, people can really hear it. So let's try it one more time. Here we go.
You New Jersey, somewhere around there. You guys just.
This is an internet?
Yeah. There's an internet radio show. But you're actually here on some radio station back east. But
such an open?
Huh. It sounded like
I heard you guys
heard
joke.
That sounds like I heard J, a kind of a J word.
You
I'm
guys,
trying
you
to
guys
that.
Joke.
Are you guys joke or you guys jaw? That's what we heard.
And did you think that was actually an audible that people heard? Because, you know, based on the way they were talking.
I didn't hear anything that
no,
that
God,
you
no.
are playing. I didn't hear any of that the night of our excursion.
Well, somebody said something like that. So we'd have to find out who said that, but it does sound like it's a potential audible and it got caught. So we'll come back to that one in a future, you know, episode here. It's still a good catch. It would just be the thing that's dangerous with EVPs like this is you don't know if you caught somebody actually speaking.
There was nobody.
So,
it was me, Chris, and that guy with all the stuff around his belt. We were talking about how they were criticizing the ghost hunters, and they were criticizing, I guess there was a lot of banter going back and forth. And we were talking, we're at the end of the line, and then there was nobody back there. That came out of nowhere.
Okay,
that was.
That validates it then. I tend to agree. Okay.
We were walking through. Remember where the storage area was?
Mm-hmm.
Where they had all the old chairs and carpets and
and books. It was like craziness, like all the original stuff.
There. We were walking through there, and we were walking through, passing through just about the very last door before we started walking through the hallways. And that.
Yeah, that was by where. Yeah, that section where they had it was kind of where they keep all the stuff for the Halloween shows and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know exactly where.
Before we walked into that area.
Yeah, it was before that.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. When we go back in September, I think it would be a good idea we actually make a map of the decks where we got all these different things.
Yes.
You kind of try to have something to go back with and be armed ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And form up as a team and just, you know, hit it and see what we see if we can get the same kinds of voices
again,
and hopefully disprove that they're not playing some trick on us or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's been known
mm-hmm.
to happen. But
play the singing one.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up at 206 minutes 22 seconds. This is after we stop for a bathroom break, and Pat
mm-hmm.
says, "Or are we?" And I hear a faint voice singing before Chris Stanley says hello. And this one,
mm-hmm.
quote, in capital letters, this one really freaked me out, exclamation
point. Yeah, scared me.
So let's see. Let's go ahead and scroll down. And we're going to play it at 100%. And here we go.
Where are we?
Hello?
Did you hear
what
that?
What in the heck? Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's play that again because it sound. That's the kind of stuff you get. You get these strange... just off the wall, like they're out of phase slightly, and it does sound like it's singing or talking in a cadence. So here we go, one more time.
Where are we?
Hello?
Singing.
And I heard the singing. I finally heard the singing on it was just prior to that other strange. So that was singing.
Yeah,
it was definitely singing.
It is singing. It's and I was reading this book, and I cannot remember whether I'm trying to find it in the book that I'm reading about the Queen Mary. I can't remember whether I read it in the book or whether I read it on the internet somewhere that. I believe that room used to be, or they've had hauntings of a woman. They've seen her and they've heard her singing. There's like a singing ghost on that ship. Do you remember that, Chris?
No, I just remember like going to the bathroom and coming back, and you're having problems with your camera because
mm-hmm.
it drained all your memory.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about regrouping, and then all I knew is we moved on into the engine room. I had no idea that we were going to get that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did great. I mean, I'm looking forward to the other five, and I really think we should have you guys back. And, you know, we'll go ahead and go through some of these EVPs, and I think maybe June, July, see if we can, you know, round you two up again and, you know, hit it again on this.
Are we going to hear some of yours?
As a matter of fact, you are. I've got some of my best stuff I picked up there. This one, I'm not quite sure where I was. I know we were on the Midnight Investigation, but we got names, and I got some pretty interesting things. This one says, Guru will help you. And it's a very strange man's voice. So I'm going to go ahead and play this and see what you guys think.
Ooh.
Isn't that freaky?
Oh,
Guru will help you.
You don't remember where that was?
I've got to go back and try to correlate where I was. Unfortunately, one thing I learn on every investigation is something that I need to do for the future. And I'm going to remember in the future to carry a notebook and just sort of every so often take a note where I was at so many minutes in.
At that time.
I think that would,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll be something that'll be really helpful, but it was very strange. And we're going to look for some of these names because it's just amazing. So I'm going to play this again. Here we go.
Ooh.
Isn't that freaky? I mean, you just go, ooh, what was that thing talking to me about?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean,
it says something
freaky.
About the girls.
Guru will help you. Well, you say girls, Kat?
I do.
I'm going to write that down. Kat says girls. Something about girls, right?
Yeah, I can see the man that says it, too, so.
Okay.
That would make
sense.
I'm
going to mark that. And let's see. We have one here about Spirit says that Harvey is a nerd. And I'm not kidding you. So, and it's very clear. There's no doubt as to what this guy is saying. So here we go. Do you hear that?
No, I did not. Is it towards the beginning?
This is one of those ones that goes of kind of phase. Did you hear the at the last part of it where it says is a nerd?
I heard the Harvey part. Yeah, me too.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna play it again. Darn this thing. Here we go.
Oh, I think I heard, like he says, Harvey is a nerd.
And then it just changes on you. And this is what you get now and then with EVPs. And you can't make, the voice seems to just shift and phase and goes places. And but at the very end, you hear a nerd. And I have, again, I'm not sure where, actually, this was in the pool area. So we picked that up at the pool. So I did make the note of that particular one. Here's one that says something about hurt the monkey.
What?
I'm not kidding you. It was like I got some of the wildest stuff I've ever gotten in my whole career doing
that's
this.
Scary.
Let's,
wow.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear. I mean, this one's pretty good.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Play it again.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm going to. You know what's weird about this control panel is I sometimes have to hit it twice.
It's kind of a real high pitched.
Yeah, when you play it back and it's very clear and definite, it's a voice, but it is one of those higher pitched things. So here we go again. Actually, I'll beef it up here a little bit. I'm going to take it to 150%. So. Here we go. And let's see. Now, the next day, or actually this was, I was on either M or R deck, and I think it was R deck, which is where they have the museum and those different things. You guys probably were wandering around down there too. And it was sort of closed. And so I was just walking around through and in around that area. And this EVP comes in and says, "We're the Majesty." And it's extremely clear. But let me just scroll down here. I got to get to it. If I can find it. Here it is. So we're going to play that. And actually, yeah, I shouldn't be saying that that was clear because that wasn't so. But it was one of those scratchy voices. And when you play it back and forth, you definitely get that being said. So it was an odd EVP. In the pool area, here's another one called, lost the scroll. Remember down in the pool area where the changing rooms were there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember that mannequin that was sitting there when you come around the corner?
Yes.
Yeah, I walked in on that and I just looked up and here's a human shape and it was dark and I just about jumped out right on my skin,
mm-hmm.
and I commented on it and you hear a whisper, "Oh my, oops." That reset on me. I'm trying to stop it. Darn it. This thing. They refresh every so often here, and right when you click, it will do that. Here we go. Now I got it.
My turret was so bad, I felt lost it.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll play it one more time. Come on. Got to talk it into it. Here we go. Okay, got it.
My turret was so bad, I felt lost it.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah, that was a good one. Tell you what, we're going to take our break. We're a little bit over our break, so I'm going to go ahead and take that, and we'll just talk about some of the different stories. We played quite a few here, and maybe I'll play a few more. I've got a few more laying around here in the old vault. But overall, I'd say you guys did great in there for a first time out, and it sounds like you're excited to go back.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. We are.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm just flipping notes here to make sure I find the where I'm. Oh, here it is. So we're going to go ahead and take about a 3-minute break. And, Kat, you know what that means?
Everybody go pee.
Oh, my God.
Well, we're not going to hide the obvious truth. Come on, these poor people are sitting there all day. This is the show, you know. So here we go, and I'm going to first I got to kick the level up a little, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
I sent you this song for the Wild West or the Virginia City show we did.
Yeah, I did. I liked it so much I kept it.
I love this song. It took me a long time to find it.
Leaned against the wall, oh, side like that.
Yes, side like that.
Oh, side like that.
Yes, side like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's side like that.
Yes, side like that.
Oh, apples on the table, peaches on the shelf. I'm getting mighty tired of sleeping by myself. Oh, it's tired like that.
Yes, tired like that.
Yes, tired like that.
Oh, it's tired like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tired like that.
Yes, tired like that.
Butcher, but I'm the butcher's son. I can cut your meat until the butcher comes.
Yeah,
oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Tied like that.
Tied like that.
Can you
hear me?
Do you? Said it's tied like that.
Tied like that.
But I've been told that the ladies in heaven like a sweet jelly roll. Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Uh-oh.
You are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the star-filled skies of the Sierra Nevada Range here in Northern California.
I swear that needs to be louder.
I agree.
Isn't this that play that funky music white guy?
Is that the whole point of the Doomsday Machine is lost.
If you keep it a secret, why didn't you tell the world, eh?
It was to be announced at the party congress on Monday. As you know, the premier loves surprises.
I love that show. That was a great movie. You're right. I'm gonna make a note on that. I gotta boost the volume and just reload that up because that does sound just a little bit under. So hey, we're back and we actually have we had a call. Oh, we do have a caller from area code 210 calling in. So we're gonna go ahead and pick the line up and see who we have on there with a question. So here we go.
This is the Boogeyman. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey Boogie,
hello.
What you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, what have you got for us here?
Gary McKeith and you went to Queen Mary, huh?
Mm.
Yep.
Did they close it down for you, or when you went out there, make any special type of you know what I mean?
It's a regular tour, and it's done at midnight every Friday. Every Friday evening at midnight, they lead a tour down, and I guess the Queen Mary has contracted this particular paranormal investigator to take folks down into a set region of the ship, and it's, I believe, $75 to go down, and it's one heck of a bargain. I mean, you get to see everything, and you do some things you're never going to forget that you did, and it was just an awesome experience. So I recommend it highly to anybody. Definitely make the time, reserve ahead of time on a Friday night, and you'll remember that the rest of your life. So yes, there are times though in other places on the ship where you do, you know, they can make special arrangements, but I don't know all the details. You'd have to call the folks at the Queen Mary on that.
Well, it's Chris, because I was at the Queen Mary years ago, you know. Years ago. I used to live very near there. But, the EVPs got very, very interesting, you know. Because I can hear the one first at Harvey, that came out pretty clear, you know. And some of the voices were pretty clear. And, those are all, the EVP things. I think it's, phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really neat to see, new investigators. I mean, Chris and Chris both, picking up some of the things they did. It was just an awesome deal. I mean, they actually got some what I would say are Class A's. You know, especially that little girl. Hello. I'm still, you know, mixed on it on the age, but I'm going to trust you guys. If you say it's a little girl, I'm going to go back and really listen to that. But definitely female, younger, for sure. And you just don't get EVPs like that every day. Most of the time, it's the scratchy voices, or you'll get the whispers, or the stuff that floats in and out. You know, and it's, you have to really listen to bring it out. Those are the Class B's and C's, and then, you know, you get the D's, which are all trash. But they did great, and it was just an awesome deal. Do you have any questions for them there?
Yeah, definitely. Real quick here.
What's happening?
Okay, no, my battery just went low. Okay, never mind. I'm back. Okay. The EVP thing is very interesting. I've always been interested in that, especially when you track it back to the people or you might have heard it say, you know. That's really interesting. Have you ever had any type of experience happen yourself? I mean, like, you saw something type thing or anything, or you know what I say?
What do you mean, experience? I've had plenty of the field.
A ghost or spirit type thing any of you all get across?
Well, actually, I mean, I've talked about this before, but I'll relate it again. 15 years ago, here on the very property I'm on right now, I woke up at 3 in the morning to witness a apparition standing roughly 15 feet from me. It was a Western woman dressed in kind of a flowing, kind of dress, and she had a shawl on and something covering her head, but I could see her face clearly, a thin triangular face, and she had a big smile on her face, and she just smiled at me, and I was sitting straight up out of bed looking directly at her, and she just slowly faded away, and I was as wide awake as we are right now, and that's what kind of launched me into this. I finally realized that there were things, although I'd been psychic my whole life, I had never run into an actual apparition like this. And I'd had experiences in other places, but this was just profound. And from that point on, I began to realize there were other realities. And I'm sure many of you, I mean, both Chris's and Kat can back me up with some of the things they've seen and heard. And it's just, I think that more people than not have these experiences. And if
I'm not questioning you, because I've had experiences, but with the two gals, can you like share anything you might have seen or heard?
I've never seen what I would call an apparition or a ghostly figure. I've never seen that. I've felt things, and I've often wondered if there was something watching. What I felt when I was on the Queen Mary obviously was a feeling that you get, a gut feeling that you get, that there are people around, that there are things around that are different from our realm of living and being. One experience I had was last summer sometime, just quickly, my father passed a couple years ago, and he had his favorite numbers that he would always play at the horse track and the racetrack and lotto numbers, and those numbers were 247, 427, 724, those three numbers in any combination. And there was a night that my husband's phone rang for no given reason. It rang at like 2:47 in the morning. It was out on the coffee table. It woke me up. I had no idea what time it was. I came out into the living room because I was like, why is somebody calling my husband's cell phone early in the morning? I got up, came out into the living room, turned his cell phone off, but when I looked at the timestamp, it was my father's numbers. And I thought, well, that's my dad just saying hello to me. you know, and still his numbers come through to me and my family members all the time. You know, receipts and dollar amounts and times and times we wake up and like what happened with my husband's cell phone. So I have experiences like that, but not actual like visual things.
That'll change. The way you guys are going, that will change.
On the cell phone, did it have a number? I mean, did like cell phones register a number or something?
No,
you know?
It didn't. It did not come up as a number. It just came up as like unregistered or unavailable. It came up because our cell phones, well, at least my phone number's unlisted. So if I call somebody's cell phone number, it'll come up like as unavailable. So the timestamp was my father's numbers, but there was no phone number that came up. The phone stamp number was unavailable.
There is a whole class of EVPs that relate to telephones, and I'm not sure what how much you'll find on this, but if you go, a good friend of mine is named Christine, and she runs CJ EVP, and she has her own show out here on Blog Talk. Every Thursday, I think it is, at 6 Pacific time, 9 Eastern. And she is just, you know, really, really good, really knowledgeable, and someone I really look up to. I think she has a whole section on her website. If you go to, I think it's cjchat.org,
mm-hmm.
If you go out there, you will find plenty of, you know, anecdotal evidence and cases and different things that can explain more about. But that's an experience that's relatively common in this world of EVP. So, you know, and I fully believe that your dad was making some
I just smiled and said, "Hey, Dad," you know, went back to bed.
That's good. What about our other Chris? Did you ever have any experiences that you want to share?
Well, the funny thing is I didn't think I did. And then tonight, after 2 years, I talked to my mother. And mm-hmm. my mom shared some stuff with me about my grandma. And I thought when I told my mom about what I've been doing lately with, you know, the whole ghost hunting paranormal thing, she would think I was nuts like a lot of people. But my mom comes said, "You know what, Chris? Your grandma kept talking to me about stuff she had seen or she had experienced." And then I said, "Really?" And my mom tried to tell me about stuff where she was in her bed in Novato, California. And I had visited my mom in many experiences or in many occasions when she had lived in different places in Northern California. Like, I don't know, I was very attached to my little sister. And so I'd go see my mom, and she lived in these places like military housing and things like that. And I felt really weird in some of these places. So, but tonight she confirmed, and I said, "You know, Mom, I felt weird stuff where you were at." And she said, "Yeah, you know," she told me, like, in many places she would be there. After 2 years of not talking to my mom, she said that she'd be in places and she felt like something was holding her down or something was trying to, you know, tell her something. And I was like, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." And I was like, "Wow, like, after this many years you're telling me this?" And she said, "Yeah."
Yeah, that's a real common thing in a lot of families. I had the experience of living in our summer house in Paradise, California, which last year almost burned to the ground. But the house that we were in was the ancestral family home that my great-grandmother Stanley had been living in for, you know, better part of 70, 80 years. And I was taking care of it. She had passed, and I was up there for 3 months to, you know, basically just caretake and keep the yard up and all that. And was hearing voices at night and was hearing parties. I'd get up and it all stopped the minute I got up. What was most disturbing was when someone got into bed with me while I was after one of these sessions. I was in bed and suddenly the right side of the bed depressed next to me. and I felt this person get into bed with me, and that was a terrifying call at 3 in the morning to my mother going, this is insane. You know,
I'm
in the madhouse. Get me the hell out of here. And she finally had to explain to me how things kind of worked. So I'd had, you know, it was sort of a paranormal experience before I really got into this, but it was, it showed me there was some alternative explanations for things in the world. But hey, you know, how about anything else that you guys have experienced, or, you know, that you want to share, things that you think you've seen, or you have some questions that in your mind and you want to just toss them around?
Oh, I just can't wait to go back to Queen Mary again.
Yeah, me too.
Uh-oh.
That place.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
We need to rendezvous there again.
I've seen way too many things in my life to even recount any of them, so.
Yeah, definitely, Kat. With the things you're capable of, I know. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Is it just you think that I'm just now, because my mind is just opening up to all of this all of a sudden over the past couple years, that I'm feeling this so much more now? And you've experienced this your whole life, and now I just feel more in tune to it now since my dad's death. Maybe I'm just more open to it. I don't know.
Maybe your father dying is now your spirit guide, and he has opened your inner senses to feel this because it's necessary for you to do that, for him to communicate with you. It's not... And it's not isolated to just him communicating with you. So if he opens your senses to the possibility and the eventual realization that all this is really happening, you tend to see a lot more than maybe just your father. You will see other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think some people have more heightened sense of awareness, I guess, or sensitive than others that can, you know, notice these things, and other people just kind of pass them by, they wouldn't even know, if I say?
I would agree. I would agree with that. It's often a lot of people don't recognize a paranormal experience that is happening before them, and they're just not aware. And
yeah.
It's some people, though, it takes a parent's death or someone close to you or something transformative happens in their life, like a near-death experience. And then it brings these things out in people, especially a lot of the NDEs. They come back profoundly changed, and suddenly they're able to, they're psychic, they're seeing things and hearing things. And you really, it's a lot more common than people think. You know, so, you know, my own case.
What happened to me that we tied tough to miss?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
I've had some experiences to me that were kind of tough to miss. You know, you couldn't, like, me anyway.
What happened to you?
I guess, I love messing stuff, okay, but I think the most extraordinary thing I can say, a lot of things happen. I'll give a few, okay? I had a, I said most extraordinary, I guess I could say, that I ever saw, okay, I had a buddy on the store, okay, it's like a sports store, I used to go hang out, and he helped me lunch, I went there, hang out today, and, it was like one of these rainy nights, you know, it's a terrible day, and I went in there, okay, and the store's got like a glass door to the outside, and it was connecting to another store, okay, it was a windy day, so I went out there, and it was the door opened, okay, you know, but kind of figures the wind, right, you know, well, I went outside, and the door opened kind of like, how can you say it, like it's someone all the way, you know, not those little thing stuff. And it opened okay, and when I went outside, I noticed that the door, when it opened, was going against the wind, you know. So theoretically, that shouldn't work.
Yeah.
So let me say, you know, the pressure. But after a while, this happened again. I went outside, and the wind had stopped. And this happened throughout the entire day, pretty much. See, he had one of those, like, chime things, you know? So when the door opens, you'll know, you know what I mean? You'll know because
it'll
hit a chime. You don't got to see it. You'll just know that it opens. And this happened throughout the day. He was freaking out in a big way. But I've had similar – it doesn't bother me anymore because I've had stuff like this happen quite a bit. But the most extraordinary thing I saw, this totally blew me away. it was like, but this door kept on opening and closing, and it didn't seem to work anymore because it was going to be most lost-looking, you know. But it blew me away because I was watching, I think, at 5 o'clock news, 5:30 news, now shows coming on, and I had my back to this one area, and we were just, there was TV there, and I was just watching news, and I heard the chimes, you know.
Hmm.
So I turned around. I turned around toward my, I think, right, okay, and I saw this, I guess, gray image go by. I'm not talking about someone on the side of my, okay, it looks this thing straight down, okay. Straight across,
yeah.
Okay. He turned the exact opposite way. Okay? And this is a guy who's kind of shit to this stuff. He was just kind of freaking out, okay. But he went, when I turned around, I said, "You see that?" He said the same thing. He said he saw something, you know. So it was really weird. But this was definitely something that you couldn't really make that out. But it was definitely an image of like a type mass that just kind of went right across the room. But strangely, this had been happening all day long. And I called him up. I said, "Hey, when I left that evening, okay," he said, "stopped. The door opened like that never happened again. Not to that extreme anyway, you know?"
Yeah. Well, I hate to break into this with everything because this is all great stuff. And I think we ought to continue on, but we're coming up to the end of the show. And so that's.
Well, I had a whole bunch of stuff happen to me, but that's probably the most extraordinary one I can say because I actually saw something dead on, you know? A lot of people say see stuff that's dead or started to rise. No, this was like just falling right across the room, you know. So
yeah,
that
and and I've actually had some of these same type of experiences here on the property, especially when we have my father. Like this past week with the medical things, we've been having what we think are relatives stopping by to check on us, and we see them out of the corner of our eye. And both my mother and me are agreeing that you know we're looking right at these things. So. I think you're having a fairly common experience. That said, thank you, caller, you know, for sharing the story. And Chris and Chris.
What's your next show on?
I'll
talk about the other more. What's your next show on, you know?
We're on every week, same time.
Same time? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
You've had a great show. I had part of this to tell you. It's very good. I liked it very much.
It's good to talk to you, Bug. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thank
no
you
problem.
Very much. Okay, and Chris and Chris, you know, we've got a mission plan then for September, and we'll do a show between then. I'll get back in contact with you both, and we'll set that up for maybe June or July if you're up for it.
Definitely,
absolutely.
Okay, so we'll definitely get on that. So that said, we're going to go ahead and start winding down GRI's show here, and Kat, another one in the bag.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for coming aboard. And
no problem.
So we're going to go ahead and let me see. We're going to find something special here.
I have my friends in the chat room. I have my showcased host. I have Ms. Lynn, the Boogeyman, Torque, Doc John, Disgruntled Dan, and it's Hey Cat. And it's John from GRI Paranormal. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Good night.
Thank
Woo!
You guys for coming
Bye.
Aboard.
See you
okay,
guys.
And here,
good night.
Good night. And here we go with a little something special to help close things out. And then we'll play a little more after that for the archive listeners. Here we go.
A rabbit. A rabbit genetically modified and bred with a panther. A rabbit genetically modified and bred with a panther with turbines attached. A rabbit / panther with turbines backed by an unusually strong tailwind on ice. The rabbit panther thingy with turbines and tailwind on ice.
Rabbit panther thingy.
Shaved. With a Cold Forge High Glide Surgical Grade Razor.
Can you just see
the whole Rabbit Panther Turbine Tailwind Hairless Razor scenario. Driven by an over-caffeinated fighter pilot. With a lead foot. All traveling down a ski jump. In Switzerland. Under better than ideal conditions.
And I'm going to play a little something and let it run out here. We got 30 seconds. It's an alien thing.
Cut him open. Let's get this thing.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
What do?
We might have to amputate.
Whoa,
Doug! Don't take the leg!
Don't
take my leg.
Anything else you can do?
Oh, my God.
Wait, Dr. Luck.
Fitting for testicles.
Take it! Take it! Take the leg!
Wait. Going the other way.
All right, give me some forceps. I might be able to catch it in his colon.
How are you doing it?
Rectally.
Oh!
Stop that lubricant! Stop it over again!
All right, flip it!
Go!
Okay, here we go.
You gotta try to relax, buddy.
Anyway, it's gonna be okay.
I'll shove this gurney up your ass. See if you relax, Ira.
Cheek spreader.
All right. I'm going in.
Don't clench. Don't clench.
You're so brave.
A little more.
No more.
A little deeper.
No.
Hey, Cat, thank you.
Squeeze my hand. Squeeze
it.
Huh? Open up. Open up.
Breathe.
Open up.
Breathe.
Never mind.
Breathe. What the hell?
Very, very. Almost there. You're there. You're there.
Oh, it's over. It's over.
Oh. Just died.
Don't you ever do that again.
You see, the size of that thing he had inside is like this, man. You took it like a man.
You're
like
all right. You're all right. Great. Can we get you anything? Do you need anything?
Ice cream. I'd like an ice cream, please.
What flavor?
It doesn't matter. It's for my ass.
Of course, Kat.
I think
I've got...
that...
Was that good or what?
Did he pull a gerbil out of his ass? What did he do?
It was terrible. And...
That's gross. Hold still. Oh, yeah. Let's stick this gurney up your ass. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what time it is for the archive listeners. We've got something special here. So we're going to play
Uh-oh.
The Legend of Gunga Din.
Oh, yeah.
Let us recreate that moment. With the enemy waiting in ambush... The humble water boy sees his beloved comrades rapidly approaching the deadly trap. He realizes fully well that sounding the bugle to warn them might mean certain death. Undaunted and oblivious to consequence,
poor guy.
He bravely raises the bugle to
his
countdown.
It's only a flesh wound.